The name of the new book is That Is All, the third and final installment in John Hodgman's trilogy of Complete World Knowledge. John Hodgman will also be performing at the Calvin Theater in Northampton on Friday, November 2nd at 8 o'clock. And it's a great pleasure to welcome John Hodgman back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, Joe. That sounded like you were wrapping up this interview. Are we doing this in backwards time?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I found that to be a very good approach in interviews.
I love it. It's like Time's Arrow, the interview.
Give us a sense of how you came to this trilogy of what you wanted to accomplish from the beginning and what you feel you have accomplished now that it is complete.
Well, a long time ago, I was asked by a professional book editor here in New York City, where I live, if I wanted to write a book of trivia. And I immediately thought, yes, because I love books of trivia. I loved the books of Liszt when I was a kid. William Poundstone's great Big Secrets books that revealed the secret location, then a secret location of the private club at Disneyland, Club 33, and Masonic rituals that had not been previously revealed. I loved all that sort of lay crypto reference material that you would find in a bathroom, for example, or left behind in a summer house.
Yes.
That was a kind of literature that I had adored and do still. But I realized that there are lots of those books out there. So the only thing that I could really bring new to the enterprise of Amazing True Facts was fiction. And having thought of that, I began to I proposed that to that book editor, and I said, "What if I did a series of trivia books, but all of the amazing true facts are made up by me? Because as you know, truth is stranger than fiction, but never quite as strange as lies." And the editor politely said, "No, thank you." And about a year later, I sat down to work on it anyway. And I think the turning point for me was a list in the first book, The Areas of My Expertise, which instead of the old saw that you might find in the book of lists, such as like eight European leaders who loved to smoke cigars, I had the nine U.S. presidents who had hooks for hands, and suggesting that that there were nine U.S. presidents who had hooks for hands, and you kind of forgot about it because no one made a big deal about it. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, for example, had a hook for a hand, but you never noticed because it was shaped like a wheelchair. So that was the turning point, I should say, for the first book. And then it just became one of the most enjoyable projects that I've ever embarked on, coming up with strange, ridiculous facts that had to be rooted to some degree in the strange and ridiculousness of our own American history.
It should be noted that this particular book, That Is All, it basically is a page a day. And interestingly enough, we start on December 21st.
Right. So there was the first book was called The Areas of My Expertise, and the second, More Information Than You Require. And in that one, I decided that it would be handy to have the book itself be a page a day calendar, because no one had ever made a page a day calendar of my work, and I really resented that, so I decided to take preemptive action. And so in the second book, there was a page a day calendar called Today in the Past, which was your typical, like, this day in history type of page a day calendar. And then for the third, this book, That Is All, that is now coming out, my book of final world knowledge, I decided to do Today in the Future, or more specifically, Today in Ragnarok, the year-long cycle that marks the end of human history and the end of the world as predicted by the Mayans and the Norse and all sorts of world cultures and religions. So it started on December 21st, and it continues on for an entire year, outlining what happens as we approach what the ancient Mayans foresaw in their long count calendar, the end of time. So we're talking about solar storms. We're talking about severe weather conditions, economic collapse, the collapse of the American dollar, and the rise of the beef jerky dollar, which is going to be the new world currency, of course, because it's very useful to have around.
The beef jerky dollar.
Yeah, and then of course, you know, more cosmic events such as the Omega Pulse, which will wipe every hard drive, and the arrival of the ancient and unspeakable ones to drown the world in blood. So all those things will happen eventually. I laid out my predictions in my book, but like so many like so many end time predictors, I may have been off by a few days or years or centuries. We'll see.
One of the things that I found interesting about this book and the other ones as well is they're very, and I say this with great respect, they're very.
I doubt that.
No, I mean it.
I'm being silly, of course.
Very text-heavy. They remind me of a literary Roz Chast cartoon in the sense that there is a lot there. On a page, there are lots of words. There's lots of material. I would think that in compiling that, it was quite a chore.
Well, you know, the thing is that when the book readers, the 7 or 8 of them that are left, they really deserve a bang for their buck,
yes,
as it were. They deserve, they're out there. They're not buying pictures, they're buying words. So why not give them as many as possible? So I strive for a certain density upon the page, yes. But I don't know that that's totally a marketing tool so much as it is a product of my deranged mind.
So when you do tables and graphs and charts, I mean, obviously that's a lot of material. That's a lot to think about.
Yes. Well, you know, the thing is that I do give it quite a bit of thought. In this book in particular, you know, I had previously covered almost every subject that I had ever accidentally touched my mind to. And the thing is, we know a lot. You know, these books are meant to reflect not the facts that we necessarily specifically go to study, but the shrapnel of information that get lodged in our brain over years of overheard conversations and half-remembered magazine articles and so on. I had been a magazine writer for a period of time, and it was my job to absorb tons of information on a very specific subject, say, the longevity of men in Sardinia, or how root beer is made, or anything that I might write about as a magazine writer.
Mm-hmm.
And then upload as much information as possible, and then download as much in a faux authoritative tone that would suggest to people that I'm not a complete fraud, when in fact that is exactly what I am. And so I had picked up a lot of stuff and had then put it out into these first two books. But there were a couple of subjects that I had never touched upon, and that became the core of that is all. One being wine, which I don't like. Because I don't have the palate for it, frankly.
Yeah.
I don't have as sophisticated a palate as some. I can only taste salt and fat. sports, which I had always rather casually disdained in the earlier books, pointing out, I think accurately, that if you want information on sports, you can turn to everything else in the culture. And three, the end of the world, which is another way of talking about the end of my world. I had turned 40 when I was writing these books, and like a lot of people who are as sour-souled as I am, started looking darkly forward to what I hope will be the second half of my life, but is probably more like the last fifth of it. I'd always been fascinated with the Omega Man and Planet of the Apes and other sort of post-apocalyptic pop culture stories, and I decided to sort of tell one of my own.
I had a tough time turning 40. Did you have a difficult time?
No, it's just one day happened and suddenly I was 40. Why? Did you go through some weird aging ritual
kind? No, not an aging ritual. Just it felt weird. Once it passed, I was fine. It was just like
I think the run-up to 40 is much harder.
Yeah.
I began the book when I was 39, and I was not happy about it. and now that I am indeed 41, culture has no use for me anymore. No one's looking at me. I've grown a mustache. The universal indicator that I'm not a vibrant part of human life anymore, and just moving happily into irrelevant, weird dad territory. You know what I mean?
That's where you are.
See what a mustache signals on a man over 40. So. And there is a looseness and a freedom that comes with age in that regard.
May 21st, it says the moon explodes. When you make a declaration like that, then you have to keep it through the rest of the book, even though you're making it up, right?
Yeah, I think that you will see if you continue to read through the book that every other future prediction is touched by the fact that the moon has exploded.
Yes,
and therefore there are no more tides.
Right.
aside from the dread tide of the evil blood wave.
The name of the book is That Is All. It is published by Riverhead. It is just out in paperback. As I mentioned,
and may I also say it is out in audiobook format.
Which is great. I listened to the first one in audiobook, I believe. Was the
first
one?
And we have lots of amazing guests, including on the audiobook, including Stephen Fry and John Hamm from Mad Men and Rachel Maddow and my friend Jonathan Colton.
Oh, that's great. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. So all that is all is the name of the book. It's out in paperback. And as we mentioned in the introduction, John Hodgman is also going to be at the Calvin Theater on Friday, the 2nd of November at 8 o'clock. And a wonderful chance. I've seen you, I guess I saw you at
Solid Sound Festival.
Solid Sound, thank you very much.
The Wilco Solid Sound Festival in Massapoka.
And that was great. And you did a fantastic job. So what can people... what can people expect from you when they go to the Calvin and see you on stage?
Well, I'll make one promise, which is that I will not only be talking about the end of the world, I will also be talking about sports, your major league sports like football and baseball and basketball and falconry and some of the minor league sports like soccer and hockey. And then I will also be joined by my friend Jonathan Colton, who is one of my dearest friends and a collaborator, and now has a very vibrant career writing songs about robots and zombies and feelings. We haven't played together for a long time, so this will be probably the first time in a year on land that we have performed together on stage, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Do you do, he does his set, you do your set, and then you work together, or how does that work?
Well, he will play some of his amazing robot feelings zombie songs, of course. And I will do some of my regular imitation of stand-up comedy and taking off of my shoes and socks. But we'll collaborate on a couple of things together as well. We're still working that out. It'll be fun, though.
Do you, at any point in your writing life, did you think that you would be on a stage with a microphone in that stand-up role?
No, not at all. I mean, I very purposely call it my imitation of stand-up comedy because I know quite a few stand-up comedians, and that is a true art form unto itself, and one that is one of the many jobs that I am now conning my way into as an utter fraud. But I do enjoy talking to human beings, especially when there are lights on me and darkness out there and I cannot see them. It's sort of like doing the radio, I think.
Yeah.
And I do enjoy presenting my material on stage. But there's so many things that have happened to me that I didn't imagine when I started writing these books. When I started writing the areas of my expertise, I was a magazine writer and a former professional literary agent. I never dreamed that I would go on television or have a new career as a famous minor television personality. That would bring me to comedy stages where people would expect me to actually make them laugh. And it has been a great thrill here in the last 7/8 of my life to change so completely, and a reminder that things change very completely all the time.
Do you enjoy the audience? Is that fun to have that reaction from them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes. There is a reason why stand-up comedians do what they do, which is to make a group of people laugh is such an incredible feeling. And it is very addictive, and that's why most stand-up comedians are horrible addicts of the experience. and that's why they're selling all their possessions all the time. But I will say that I enjoy the audience, and I believe other comedians do as well. I just love engaging with people and seeing who shows up. You know, you put books out into the world, and you imagine that you're basically throwing them down a hole. And that's true for the most part. I believe my publisher has thrown several thousand copies of my book down a hole. But some of them actually reach human beings. And to have them complete the circuit and come out and meet you, and, of course, I sign books if people want such a thing, and say hello afterward is amazing and touching and fun. You know, I really appreciate it very much, and I love going around to tell people about, you know, how much I enjoy them and to hear a little bit about the fact that my work is connected with them, and also to warn them about the end of the world. It's a good feeling.
The gig at the Calvin should be fun for you because this is somewhat home base for you.
Yes. My family and I sort of make the Pioneer Valley of Western Massachusetts a second hometown. My original hometown is Brookline, Massachusetts.
Right.
But the Pioneer Valley of Western Massachusetts is sort of our adopted hometown. We spend quite a bit of time up there in the summers and school vacations and so on, and listen to WAMC quite a bit. And the Calvin is always been the place I've wanted to play there, and I'm really looking forward to going. It's very exciting to get pictures sent to me by my friends there of seeing my name on the marquee, and I'm really glad that they spelled it correctly too.
Without an E.
Without an E, yeah.
When you look at the end of the world, is public radio included? Is that safe, do you think?
It's one of the first things to go, I'm afraid.
Oh, that's sad.
I mean, you guys do a good job. You hang in there for a few days. This is according to my predictions. You know, you insulate your broadcast facilities with your many thousands of tote bags, and that holds off the hordes for a while. Public radio survives perhaps longer than it should due to disinterest largely, but then eventually, you know, there is need of warmth and food and tote bags and New Yorker subscriptions, and you guys get raided, and eventually you get shut down.
The new book is That Is All. Will there be more books?
Well, that relies on two possibilities. One, that I ever have another idea, because this does conclude the trilogy of complete world knowledge. So I don't foresee myself writing another book of fake trivia per se.
Right.
Because truly, I have taken it. I've really touched upon everything I know, and closed with the end of human history and the collapse of all world governments. So that's pretty much where that ends. And two, it really depends on whether the world does end on December 21st or not. You know, I'm hoping it does, because that'll prove me right. But there's a small possibility, that it did not. And then we'll all be faced with a little extra time to use productively, and we'll see where it goes from there.
I was thrilled during the Emmys to see you up on that stage once again, receiving an Emmy for your work with the great crew at The Daily Show. It must be, we're getting used to it, I assume, by now.
Absolutely not. First of all, I was thrilled to see you, Joe, watching me through the cameras. That was amazing.
Thank you.
To pick you out in the camera, that was great. Along with all the other watchers of the Emmys. I think there were probably about 40 of them at this stage. No, but it was not something I was used to at all, because, you know, The Daily Show has won the Emmy for Best Variety Show many years in a row, but the tradition at the Emmys is that only producers may come up to accept that award. So none of the writers, none of the on-screen talent people, the contributors like me. And that was fine. I mean, that's the way it was. But this year, word came down from John, we're just going to rush the stage and we'll all go up. And so that was the first time I'd ever gone up to the stage. And it was quite moving, I have to say, and terrifying and interesting. And then afterward, I got to go back to the winner's tent and be ignored by paparazzi. But they had good snacks back there, so that was good.
Well, congratulations. It's certainly a great show, and I would assume a very nice team to work with.
It's an amazing thing, and they're incredible people. John is an incredible talent who's just involved from the first minute of the day to the last second we're on air, and then he is out of there. But it's an inspiring place to be, and because I am a contributor, which is to say I only go in when I present my sketches and so on, I still feel very much like a tourist there. I still don't believe, every time I go in, it still feels new, and I still don't believe that I get to be a part of this show that I like so much. So it's a nice feeling. Do you have a favorite television show?
Well, certainly The Daily Show is up there. I'm now enjoying this Sherlock on PBS. Have you seen that at all?
Yeah, so imagine if you were called, I love that show, by the way, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
And nice stumping for public media. You're a loyal
player
there, Joe.
Yes.
Yeah. But imagine if you got called tomorrow saying, hey, yeah, we want you to be a recurring character in Sherlock, and you had no idea why. You would think it was a weird conspiracy against you, right?
Yes.
Well, guess what, Joe? It's happening. I'm going to make it happen for you.
You're a good man. I appreciate that.
Because I secretly want to drive you crazy.
The name of the book is That Is All. It is published by Riverhead Books. It's out in paperback. John Hodgman will also be at the Calvin Theater in Northampton, Massachusetts on Friday, the 2nd of November at 8 o'clock. And you can find out more information by going to
JohnHodgman.com also.
That's easier. You know what? That's easier. I'll do that.
The problem, everybody, is that because he works for public radio, Joe is not able to say the words .com. He's only able to say the words .org.
That's very true. JohnHodgman.com for more information. That Is All is the name of the book. John, it's always a great treat and pleasure to have you with us.
The pleasure is all mine.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That Is All.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.